a sefer called Umdes Vanhoges Lebeis Brisk, by the number of Chalokim. And it brings there that Skarov once, he said that we know that we have a Shulchan Aruch regarding Halokim. We are down Chelke Shulchan Aruch, the Paschen Halokim. So B'chaim once said, he said that in the same way that we have a Shulchan Aruch for Halokim, so the B'chaim that Sefer Chovas Alvodas, he said in the Shulchan Aruch of Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit also needs a Shulchan Aruch. Some other have Musa Sfarim, but they are beginner Musa Sfarim. The Chovas Alvodas is more than a Musa Sefer. He said that that's actually a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch of Yiddishkeit, he said, is the Chovas Alvodas. Interesting to mention that also Reb Mendel Kotzker Rebbe, the great Kotzker Rebbe, it was a tkufa that he had a shir kibur. Mendel Kotzker had a son who was named Reb David. As a matter of fact, anybody who goes to Kotzk, to the kibur tzadikim there of the Kotzker Rebbe, Reb Mendel Kotzker, he quite will refurbish something like about 15 years ago, a little bit more maybe. And side by side you have two kvarim, you have the cave of Reb Mendel Kotzker, and you have his son, Reb David. And the Kotzker Rebbe with his son was kibbeh yeshir for a period at Kufa, which they would learn together, would learn Chovas Alvodas. It's interesting to mention that regarding Chovas Alvodas, he says a fascinating thing. There's, you know, the 10 shiurim, the 10 gates, and the world learning Shara B'Tochen, but he has Shara HaKneir, which is the gate of humility. The gate of humility, Shara HaKneir, Derek Zion, he brings very interesting thing from time to time, periodically, the Chovas Alvodas brings a Maaser or two. In every shahr, there's somewhere here and there, there's a Maaser to make the point. And he says that Mesupra al Tzadik Echad, that it was told and was said regarding a particular Tzadik, that once he found out that somebody spoke Lashon Hara against him. Somebody slandered him. He spoke ill about him. V'noy d'loy mizeh, he says. And this particular tzaddik found out about it, that so-and-so spoke Lashon Hara on him. So the Chovas Alvodas says, what did this tzaddik do when he heard that so-and-so spoke against him? He says that sholach loy, he sent him a tremendous matonah. He sent him a choshev matonah, a whole bowl filled with kol minei madanim shegoyim, which you imagine, fruits and delicacies and everything. And he says to him like this, I'm sending you a matonah because you sent me a matonah first. Kobalti is at Jewish also. So I received the matonah that you sent me. Tahainu, the Chovas Alvodas is the one that the Chofetz Chaim quotes regarding in his Sefer Shmiras Halashim. People may be heard of it, but not realizing that that's the Chovas Alvodas. That when a person speaks Lashon Hara against the other person, so Mamela, the victim, receives the mitzvahs of the one who spoke against him. Whether some of the mitzvahs or all of the mitzvahs, says the tzaddik to the Baal Lashon Hara, he says, I received a tremendous matonah from you. I got all your mitzvahs. So here I'm sending a matonah back. So points out the Chovas Alvodas, there's interesting, Shar HaKneir in Perek Zayin, where he brings this maaser. Interesting, also quite similar, Mamish, you see this idea. We mentioned that the Beis Yosef had a maggid, which was a malach that came to teach him. And the Sefer is written in Lashon Arami, Aramaic, in the Parashat Vayakel. So it brings there in the Sefer, Magid Mishor, that's the way the name of the Sefer, that the Magid, the Malach, came to Beis Yosef and said to him, that also if people you find that they rise up against you, and they speak Lashon Hara, he says, Ei Mahar, said, don't be bothered, because why? Kehem lo yadikucha, Eloi says, hoyilu. If anything, he says, they're only going to benefit you, it's going to help you. Because when somebody speaks Lashon Hara against his chaver, he says, they take away from the zochis, from the mitzvahs of the one who spoke. And the Lashon is the Lashon Arami, he says like this. He says, Ve'ilu ha'viyodi anosho do. A people would know about this feature. In other words, the people would know that if someone speaks Lashon Hara against you, that you actually take his mitzvahs, ha'vichadoyin, they would be besimcha. Lashon Kedva. When they hear the Omrit Bish Minhoin, Ki ilu yoviloi matonas kesevoizo. So writes the Maggid. People would be Maggid Besimti, says. You realize what the upshot of that is. In the course of Chofetz Chaim, from time to time he talks about that. And he also talks about the Eitzes of being to retrieve it in terms of when a person does tshuva on the Aver of Lashon Hara. So it's not something that's at the end of the road that you cannot be misakin, but the idea of being misakin is like in everything else, but it also is not so easy to be misakin on Lashon Hara, because he brings the moshel with the pillow of feathers. Sometimes a pillow of feathers, and you open it up, and then have all the feathers scattered in the wind, try to go bring it back. Try to go try to retrieve all the little feathers. Same thing with speak Lashon Hara, now it's spread over in the public. About 5,000 people heard it. How are you going to go tshuva? How are you going to be able to erase, and you're going to be able to retrieve and be able to be phrased on those words that you have said? So it's not such a situation. But Kofonim, as we mentioned, this is mentioned in the Chovos HaVavos, and it's also mentioned by the Beis Yosef's Magid, which is in the Sefer Magid Mishorim. It should be pointed out, it's interesting, that the Stifler writes, actually, in the there is a Haskoma to a Sefer, Leif Toy, which is a well-known pirish on Chovos HaVavos. The Stifler there, he writes the following, he says, whoever has not seen the light, so writes the Stifler, whoever has not seen the light of the holy words of the Chovos HaVavos, right, will be missing very much. He'll be wanting inside in the purity of all that is holy. In other words, if you want to have the connection and to be sensitive to Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, things that are holy, to have Kedusha, he says you'll be missing the lights without, if you have not studied the Chovos HaVavos. The Maisa is very lofty, many things that we see with the Chovos HaVavos, of course, talks about lofty height, talks about Madregas, which is something which is sometimes a lifetime of work. But certainly we can always come closer, and that's basically our tafkid. Our tafkid is not to complete the job. Our tafkid is to try to do as much as we can. But many times when you learn Chovos HaVavos, with the shiur, we're talking with any shiur that you might want to learn, you sometimes may hear an inner voice within you suggesting that you're quite incapable of reaching these levels. So the truth is the Chovos HaVavos himself was aware that you might be thinking about that. Chovos HaVavos himself was aware that you might be thinking about it in Perek Ches. He makes a comment, people are going to start learning Chovos HaVavos, the duties of the heart. He says to yourself, he says, this is not me, I can't attain those levels. These are too high for me. These are something which is, the goals are too far-fetched. So Chovos HaVavos says like this, that even if, let's say, you're not able to achieve these madregas, b'maisa, in action and in deeds, he says, what he cannot realize, he says, indeed, you should master at least the knowledge. Learning about it, thinking about it, the idea is at least because you should be longing, he says, because when you have the knowledge of what a person should try to achieve, so even if you have not managed to actually achieve it, at least you should have a desire to want to achieve it. And that itself is already an achievement and an accomplishment. He says, express longing for it in your speech and the yearning for it in your heart, says the Chovos HaVavos. So the idea is not dafke to say to yourself that, look, I didn't accomplish, I've not achieved, I've not reached those madregas. But even if you can just reach a little bit of it, of having the desire, and this is something that we should hope to achieve every little bit, this means a lot. And that he says himself in Chovos HaVavos and Perek Ches. Just mention that, you know, between in the Rothschilds families, very many were not from. You know, the famous bankers in Frankfurt at the end of the 1700s, actually. That's when the first bank, the Rothschilds. But there was a, first of all, the founder was Mayor Anschel, who was from. Now we have been later on, there was, in Hebrew, his name was Shimon Wolf. I won't say his English name is not important. His name was Shimon Wolf Rothschild. Shimon Wolf was not just a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, an Elohayit, but he was a tzaddik. Matter of fact, Ksav Sofer himself wrote in a letter that he met him in one of the, it was a Marienbad or Karlsbad, one of these places the Ksav Sofer went for his health. He died very young, the Ksav Sofer, in his 50s, son of the Ksav Sofer, 57 years old. And he met, he says, Baron Rothschild. And he says, he is tzaddik, he says, he's a tremendous tzaddik, he says, not just because he's tremendous Baal Tzedakah, but also he says his ideas are Torah, Shmir Samitzes, he says the way he's metagdi b'kala b'kachmura, the writing of the, this is what Ksav Sofer writes, regarding, like Abruch, if anybody goes to the cemetery in Frankfurt, right away it's noticeable the Rothschild section of the Matzevis, which are very, very tall, very, very huge, and marble, kulei, b'kolosei matzevai, with all the intricate details of architecture. I'm not sure what helps the Mishamayim, but L'mayis down in this world, whoever goes there sort of has a little bit of envy, you know. These are the kind of Matzevis that they have over there. It is said about one of the Rothschilds, here is a Maisa, it's actually a sad story. The person was saying to himself that, so rich, you know, all the gold and silver. He says that he's sure that he'll never die of starvation, he said. He said, personally, he says, with such wealth that I have, one of the richest people around. He says, so certainly, he says, whatever happens, maybe out of an illness, but he definitely will not die from starvation. He had a room. He had a room, which there he had basically gold and silver, which designated, which was locked with many, many locks and keys in order basically to preserve. He had quite a bit of his wealth, which he had in his house itself. Got that treasure room with all its oysters, gold and silver. And he went in there, and without noticing, the door locked. The key was on the outside. Couldn't get out. And whatever it was, the reason is that nobody came, he didn't know where he was. And they just didn't find him. And he realized that his life was ebbing away. So they say in the last moments of this, he took some blood, he drew some blood from part of his body, and he used that blood. He didn't have a pen also on him. And he wrote on the walls, he says, that this was an oynish min shemayim, a punishment, because I always used to say, he'll never die of starvation. So shemayim wanted to show him, you may die from starvation. Very, 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 very sad story. But I want to tell you something. This story, you know, whatever it's worth, but I'll tell you that the Choyves Halvavis himself, in Shar B'Tochen, as Hashem, hope we'll get there, but some Perik Vav, says the Choyves Halvavis about a chosid who had a neighbor. The Choyves Halvavis said this chosid had a neighbor who was a cipher. He wrote Sefer Torah, he wrote mezuzahs. And that was his pronoset from writing. So once the chosid asked his neighbor, so writes the Choyves Halvavis, the chosid asked his neighbor, he says, what do you do for a parnosa? So the cipher answered, he said, as long, he said, as my hand is okay, he says, everything is fine for me. As he can write. As long as the hand works, he said, everything is okay. He said, that night, says the Choyves Halvavis, righteous mind you, that night the terrible tragedy happened, that his arm was cut off in an accident. He lost his arm. He was not able to write anymore. Show again, min shemayim again, that if you think it's your panosa is within your koyach, of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who's mashpi a panosa and does what he has to do. And sometimes the lesson comes in a very, very severe way. But this is the Choyves Halvavis that brings the Shara B'Tochen Perek Zayin. You take a look, Rabbi Yisrael Nishit. Let's take a look. And we have here, there's a. B'Tochen, he talks in many, many places. He talks about B'Tochen. Quite a number of places he talks about it. So this is a kuntres that was put out from the Beis Halevi. These are very fundamental things. So I want to tell you something about the Beis Halevi. I did many, many years. This was printed up at one of the Brisker Yard sites. I maybe saw it maybe 20 years ago. Since then, heard it from an Odom Gadol as well. That Reb Chaim Brisker, who was the son of the Beis Halevi, had a chusid, a chassidish yid, who came to see him for a particular situation. And the chusid was a chosid for a particular rabbi. I don't know which rabbi it was. And he was very much mishabeach his Rebbe, but the main point he was talking about his Rebbe, but the Rebbe is a tremendous Baal Moisid. He's able to perform miracles and wonders and all these things. Reb Chaim was listening to him. Reb Chaim said to him, I want you to know, he says, that my father, the Beis Halevi, he says, hundreds of Moisim, he says, and I myself, the Reb Chaim, I'm aware, and the Brisker of Reb Chaim's son, the Velvel, said it over, B'Shem's father, he says, hundreds of Moisim that I saw from her, no Chassidish Rebbe. So, Gol Ador, B'Tayri, Shemayim, Atzadik, he performed one of the Moisim. However, he says, it's not our style, he said, he lived to speak about Moisim. Is it because of Bittul Torah? So, Belvel said it over. So, I heard Reb Chaim saying the following three Moisim. Let's short stories. We've got the Beis Halevi. He says, I once came into the room in Brisk, and I saw the Beis Halevi had a burning iron. He said, an iron was heated up. A piece of metal that was heated up on the fire, and he put it to his hand. He said, what are you doing? It did not affect him. He said, I'm testing to see, he said, if the Eishel Gehenna is shoiled to me. It's like the Gemara said by Reb Zeira. What the Gemara says? With the oven. He said, I want to see if the Eishel Gehenna is shoiled to me. So the way he tested himself, saying, a burning iron, a fiery iron, and he put it to his hand. That's Uvda number one. Second thing said the Brisker, Reb Chaim said that when he was a child, he was playing with children like children do. And he got upset, they got him angry. And he comes in the house, he was fuming. And the Beis Halevi sees that Reb Chaim is very angry. So Reb Chaim said, so my father went over to me and said, take your tzitzis out. put your hand on your tzitzis. The moment he said, I touched my tzitzis, he said, I calm down. That's number two. Number three, he said, the Brisk girl said, that Reb Chaim said to this chusin, he said that there was a fire in Brisk. Fire in Brisk. And they came to tell the Beis Halevi about the fire in Brisk. The Beis Halevi said, go bring me a pail of water. They bring a pail of water, and the Beis Halevi pours the water in his house, and the fire extinguishes over there. The more as he was pouring water over here, it extinguishes over there. So the Brisk Rav continued to say, the emissaries of Chaim continued on and on, but I only know three. Because when my father said it's a little tighter, then I had no right to listen. So I walked away. So the Reb Chaim continued on. The Vaz and the Mechuzet, he said that you could find ways into the Koich HaTorah. There are many, many ways to do it. So anyway, this is just a little bit of a glimpse on the Beis Halevi. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, let's take a look here very quickly. So Chayr is Habitonim, says the Beis Halevi. Bobi Pesukim Hamgen, this is very fundamental. Not going into things that you think that's out of. This is the Beis Halevi explain to you what Bitochen is, what the Chiva Bitochen is. First of all, he says, Bobi Pesukim Harbe, he says, Rabbi Mispah. Many Pesukim, he says, you know, many. He says, Umi, he says, and a person should Machasar Boy, he says, someone who does not have Bitochen, like him Bitochen, Averi Gedoili, it's a big Averi, but not also a big Averi. There's consequences. What the consequences are? The Averi is who Atzmo Goyim Lelipah. We always think, you don't have Bitochen, so you're not going to have a Yeshua. That's first and final. He says, more than that, lack of Bitochen can cause problems. It's not just if you don't have Bitochen, so Mela, you're not going to have the Yeshua that you may want, because you don't have Bitochen. The lack of Bitochen itself could cause problems. Goyim Lelipah. Kemam Ra'akosub, as the Pasuk says, now listen to this Pasuk, Pasuk Yemishle. Cher das Otom Yitein Moikesh. The Pasuk says that the fear of man, that is, if you have fear, you're on the cross of Adam. A person should only have fear of himself, but he talks about himself. A person should have fear only from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says the Pasuk Yemishle, Cher das Otom, fearing man, Yitein Moikesh. He says, as a snare. A much as a snare, a trap. That itself will trap you, says the Pasuk. On the other hand, says the Pasuk, Ubeteyam Hashem, one who trusts in Hashem, Yisuga. Yisuga means that he'll be encouraged. He'll give him power. He'll give him kaya. So what do you see? You see the Pasuk, Cher das Odom. The fact that you're going to have fear from a person, it says, Yitein Moikesh. That itself is going to Yitein Moikesh. That's going to add a snare. That's going to bring a snare. By the Zeh, Sheyech Rad Odom, the Yifcha made the Dover of Levot of Hashem. A person is going to have fear from another boss of Adam and not going to be Mefake from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Levot of Hashem. Zehu Atzmoy Goyim Lo, he says, Sheyinosu the Fala Moikesh. That itself will cause that a trap, right, will fall in front of him. So why you clown the Koyim Lo, he says, Dover. A trap that did not exist in Bechlau, that he himself brought the trap upon himself because life of the Tokim. Ubetoyach Hashem, on the other hand, someone who does trust in Hashem, Yisugav, he will be encouraged, which means to say, the Gamma Hatzora, Shavoya boy, he says, Yinotza. So, if you have Bitochen, even if you had already a Tzorah before, Bitochen can take you out of it. Take you out of it. By the way, this is not like we mentioned from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish said Bitochen, remember, it's called like the other sheet is Bitochen. The other Bitochen was, what's Bitochen? Bitochen means that a person trusts that everything that happens is not a mikra, but rather everything is B'nai Shemayim. And if everything is B'nai Shemayim means the same way that Hashem brought, Hashem can take it away. That doesn't mean that you're guaranteed to take it away. But the fact is, if you believe that Hashem can take it away, that might encourage Hashem, in fact, to take it away. So that's the Bitochen. Whereas we showed Rav Salanter, we showed all the Chayvus Olam, others say, that in fact the Bitochen means that what in Schus of Bitochen, the person will be saved from a Tzorah. No, so this is basically what he says. So if you have Bitochen, you can be saved from a Tzorah. If you don't have Bitochen, not merely you won't be saved from the Tzorah, but that itself can cause a Tzorah. That itself can bring a Tzorah. And then he says further. If you go on the Pasuk, he says, you take go on the Pasuk of Yeremia. So in the Pasuk of Yeremia, it says, the Pasuk says this. The Pasuk reads, Al Tachas Mipneim. The Pasuk says, Al Tachas Mipneim. Don't be frightened from them. Look what the Navi says. Loisirov Loisechos. We find the Chumash. The Pasuk says, Al Tachas Mipneim. Don't be afraid of them. Because Pen Achitcho Lipneim. Lest I let you be broken before them, says the Pasuk. So what do you see? So you see the fact that if you do have fear, that itself can cause problems. The fact that you have fear, that itself can even cause problems. And this is a fascinating Gemara. Two lines of Gemara. The Gemara is brought to Tafsamut. Gemara tells a very fascinating. Yehuda Bar Noson says, Gemara Avishokel V'yozul Basre. The Gemara says that Yehuda Bar Noson was walking behind Rav Amnuna. Asna. And he groaned. Apparently there was something that was really, really bothering him. So he groaned. Amalei, so the other said to him, you're groaning? Yisurim boya hai gavra lasuya nafshe. Do you want to be the cause of bringing pain upon yourself? The chsi, because the Pasuk says in Iyuv. The Pasuk says in Iyuv, says, pachad pochadati, the fact that I feared, says Iyuv, v'yasiyuni, that was brought it upon. Pachad pochadati v'yasiyuni, that was caused, the pachad that I feared, that is what brought the tsaras upon me. Vavuken chsi, and therefore, the Pasuk says that we had already in the previous year, kiseta lamukomo. The Torah says when you go out to war, sus v'rechav, and you see Amrov, you see against you that the enemy has great company, means to say he is a multitude of soldiers, and you see that you are outnumbered by the enemy. And there you might be afraid, says the Potik L'Siro Behem. Do not fear them. This is not merely a good Eitzah, an Eitzah Toiva, but the fact that this is an Isser. The Isser to fear, the Isser to fear when you go to Mokhomav, a Rambam, the Miyan HaMitzvahs, Rambam and the Tariq Mitzvahs, among the 613. This counts as a lot. This counts as the list. This is enumerated. Mitzvah loisah said, this is one of the 613. Mono zeh b'chesh malavim. Sh'ayor v'mulchoma oivra loisah said. He's oivra on the lot. He's oivra on the lot of loisiro mehen. Yim hoi lo yiro, and he, if in fact he has yira, he has fear, but yichoy zeh baruch ha'mulchom. In those days, he would not be qualified. He would have to go home. Couldn't go into the army. He couldn't act as a soldier. Kimam Rakosa, the Potik says, Meyoisha Yoreb Rachalev of somebody who's afraid and soft hearted, Yel Vyotu Lebesos. Now, remember, the Stipel already told us, remember we had, Stipel and Pshat in this, to fear Muhammad itself, he says, is not allowed. That's not the prohibition. Why? Because Muhammad by itself, by its very nature, means that somebody's going to die, the people are going to die. And therefore, who knows who? So to tell a person that, well, don't be afraid of Muhammad, because why? Because if we're talking, the definition of talking means that what, that people are going to die. That's what Mukham is. But if the sim of your fear is because you see a lot of people coming against you, which means that you believe that success or defeat depends on how many soldiers against you up against, that's a lot because you're not relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If a person has just general fear of Mukham, that's one thing. That is justifiable. But if the only reason you're afraid is because you see how many soldiers against you, or you see the sophisticated weapons maybe against you, that means that you are determining within yourself that the success is based upon how strong the other side is, or how strong you are. And then we are taking away the courage of Siyata Dishmaya, you're not believing, that's where the Lesira comes. But the Beit Halevi, the way the Beit Halevi told us, we find another insight. Beit Halevi just told us right now that a person is not happy talking, then not only be talking will not help him if he doesn't have bitachon. But the bitachon itself could cause problems. It's like you said, you go to war and you're afraid, that means that itself may be the cause of chas v'shalom, you're not going to make it. But Levi says, lo yisiro mehem. Because if you are afraid, then that itself, chas v'shalom, will compound the sakona in your area. This is what he points out. Ki achre shu yore yochel, he says, it's very possible that yocheliya is nilkat cholila b'zeh. It's very possible that in a shemayim, that he'll be trapped for this. Umilchamtom shall Yisrael, he says, when it comes to Mokhama Bayin, Mokhama Bayin, he says, Loyhoysa big Vurosom, he says, Rakbi Putchonim. That means it included that the disciples said. The success of war by Yidin was not the Gvura, was not the power. It was the Bitokhim that they had in Hashem. Ukemam Rakosa, the Pasuk says, again, he's the Pasuk in Yishai. What does Pasuk say in Yishai? Pasuk says in Yishai, Bahashke ubebatocho tiyeh Gvuraschem. That he says, with serenity and with bitachon, you can have gevurah. So the more bitachon, says the Pasuk, right, and the more tranquil that you go, uksid, and look how the Beis Halevi ties to this Pasuk in Halo. Lo ira, he says, Hashem li lo ira, mayas el yodom. Ties to the Beis Halevi. You know what the Pasuk means? That kivish lo ira lo yokoil odom lasas limimah. Hashem li lo ira, therefore, I'm not afraid mayas el yodom. It's because I'm not afraid. It's because I'm not afraid, that goof is deceiving. That goof is the reason why I expect nothing to happen to me. That nobody will be able to hurt me. Beis Halevi tells us that there is a sign in terms of where a person is standing in Yiddishkeit if he has fear from another boss of Adam. Bahayir of the boss of Adam, Beburi Beposik, we can find out, we can see. Kedevon Mitzat Shikro, Bashem Yisborah. The fear of another of Adam is only because a person has shikra, he's not cognizant, he is not ill, that he is in the presence of Hashem. And here is the pasuk in Yeshayah. Let's look at this pasuk. Pasuk says as follows. The Novi says, Mi at vatiri me enosh yomus. Who are you that you should be afraid? Me enosh yomus means from a mortal man, a man that dies. Who are you that you are afraid? Me enosh yomus. Why should you be afraid from a person who is merely a mortal person? Umi ben adam, and from a person that chatzir yinose, and a person who will be made as grass. But eventually, we know what happens at the end of a person. So who are you to be afraid of a person who is mortal? A person who at the end will be made as grass. Batishka Hashem oisecho batifcha tomit. What does the pasuk say, batishka? Because you forgot Hashem. So Levi points out, that is deceiving. You have to be strengthen yourself. You have to be mechadish the muscles of your shemayim within yourself, he says. Kimoyodo ma'ale b'liboy. Because if a person would really be aware, ma'ale b'liboy means planted in your heart. The person would be ma'ale b'liboy. As you call hanimtso b'oilam, that whatever is in this world, hakul mito yizbarak, it all comes from Hashem. The ein bishum barrier, no creature yocholes lishamas gizeroso. There is no barrier. There is no creature that is able to change Hashem's desire, only if Hashem wants to. We'll see soon the purpose of all this piece, this mamish, what's coming up, we'll see soon these words. Not these words, this idea. No barrier can harm you, and by the way, no barrier can harm you, and no barrier can even do you a toive. If Hashem doesn't want it, no barrier, no creature can do you a toive. So see people doing you favors, yeah, the guy might be a nice guy, but it's all because Hashem uses him as a shliach. As he says, loy lahadifo v'loy lachasro. Even like the pin of a needle, the point of a needle, even that much, one cannot do, can change, nor add. Nor can somebody bring it earlier, the Yeshua that you're expecting, nor can you delay it. No one can delay it. Hashem wants it to happen now, it will happen now. Nobody, no intervention of anybody else, can take it away from you, bring it earlier, or make it happen later. He says, Hakamar Makosa, the Pasuk says in you. Pasuk in Yiv says, Vehu be'echad umi yeshivenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. Vehu be'echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one. He's unique. Umi yeshivenu means, and he cannot be contradicted. So Hashem decides, no intervention of any creature. You can daven, yeah, because when you're davening, you're appealing to Hashem. But all is again. It's only Hashem. It's always Hashem. Back to Hashem. And that's what ends, and that's what begins. Hu be'echad umi yeshivenu. Memele, if that's the case, so eloi lira mishum odom. That the fear should not be from a human being. Fear should be from Hashem. And it's to Hashem that you should direct your tefillahs, your bakoshes, your amunah, your bitachon, he says. Ukamam ha'akosin, ma yasal yodom. What can man do to me? Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, as the Pasuk says, v'hu yashkoit, says the Iyuv. Umi arshia. In other words, v'hu yashkoit, loshin shekin. Because Baruch Hu grants serenity, because Baruch Hu wants you to be comfortable, because Baruch Hu wants you to be comfortable, who can cause turmoil? Hashem wants you to be comfortable. No one can change that you're matzah. Me, he says, Yarshia. There's no one who can cause turmoil in your life. B'chol Avasim has said it. When the Tsars of Hitler, Machshimoy, the Second World War started, of course, there's a lot of political intervention. Yidden were trying to do whatever they tried to do, whatever they thought they were able to do. And at the end of the day, B'chol said, with all these shtadlus, it's very good and well. But B'chol gave the moshul, and he said, imagine, he says, if you have a store that has a show window, many stores that have show windows, a particular fruit store that is claiming to sell, he says, very luscious fruit, very desirable fruit, so he wants to advertise that people should know about it. So what they do is, they put in the window artificial fruit. Artificial fruit, you can paint it as beautiful as you want. You know, the real thing sometimes depends what it is, how fresh it is, how spoiled it is, but something that's artificial, so they have plastic fruit, oranges, apples, pears, and you make it look the best as it is. So he's looking through the window, he says, you know, that's not real. The window is only reflecting, supposedly, what's inside. Chonin says, the Tzoris, he says, like he says, with the Rishoyim upon the Eden, is really a reflection of what's happening outside. And no matter, he says, even if you topple Hitler, he says, if you don't take care of Yishomayim, he says, another one will just come just the same. So that's where you got to go to. It's Mayasul Yodam, it's not the other, it's not the person. It's Xerim and Yishomayim. That's basically what the Beis Halevi is telling us here. He goes further. Let's go further. And he says, "V'gam be'eis asher sholat ha'odom." He says, "Be'odom l'rachol ilu." Let's say when you do find that another person did harm to another person. You see one person doing harm to another person. Yovin, so you think that Reuven did something to Shimon. That's how you look at it. No, no, no. It's not Reuven did something to Shimon. He says, what is Yovin Kehakul Mito Yisbarach? It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They know Odom Ahu Rak HaShevet. He's only the rod. He's only the rod. Asher Boi Ma'anish L'HaKayovim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May use him as a rod. May use that person as a rod. Right? To inflict and to afflict another person. Okay, Ma'am Rakosa. Then again, based on Levi means the Pasuk on that also. The Pasuk says, Ashur was Assyria. Right? Who caused a lot of problems for the Jewish people. The Navi says, Hoy Ashur, woe to Assyria. He says, Shevet Api, they are the rod of my anger. You see how the Navi expresses himself. Ashur is merely the rod of my anger. Look at Ashur as the enemy. They are human beings, they are creatures. The reason they can do what they are doing is because they are the rod of my anger. They are the rod of my anger. So again, so who is the reason the doer? The doer is Api Shemayim, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is doing it. And he points out, he came to show them, look, he says, the Ksivoy, it's another posik. The posik says, the beautiful posik. The posik says, Ha Yisboyer Ha Garzen Ala Choysen Boy. You know, an axe, you know, the axe, which has the ability to chop down mighty trees. But can the axe really boast with arrogance at his power? The axe is just a tool in the woodcutter who's chopping. So who's kind of really doing the chop? It's the woodcutter. The axe is just a tool, and the axe is only as effective as the one who's wielding the axe. So the Pasuk says, can the axe start to boast that he is above the woodcutter? That he is above it? Can you imagine that? He's only the tool. He's not the door. So does the Pasuk. Says the Beit HaLevi. So let's analyze and apply this to our daily life. Him Kedis et Yishodah Mevakesh, he said. When a person is Mevakesh, he says, Oz Tach Bulos. When you see that somebody is trying to do things, Umischan and the right foot. When you see that somebody's trying to hurt you, and it does not occur to you that maybe to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather you can try to appeal to another person. It's okay to do shtabas with the other person. To realize that's secondary. That's secondary. When you see somebody's trying to harm you, and it doesn't occur to you that maybe to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Beis HaLevi, then the noise in the Levi, he said how ridiculous it is, how foolish it is, and look at the example, he says. The example is, how is the doyma, he says, Lemuka, Sheboyche, he says, imagine if someone is beating you with a stick. So you go over to the stick and start pleading. You say, please stick, stop hitting me. Making sense. It's supposed to appeal to the person who is using the stick. How foolish is it if you go to the stick, start crying to the stick, stick, rod, why are you hitting me? It's nothing. You have to appeal to the person. When something happens on this world, someone's trying to harm you, he's only the rod. Trying to think that you're going to appeal to that person, that'll be the source of your Yeshua. That's not it. The appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because everybody else is merely a rod or a stick in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Eloh, Chis is Godel Mizek. Can you imagine somebody pleading to a stick or to a rod, thinking that foolishly that this might help him? The rod isn't acting on its own. Okay, Ma'amar HaKosa, the Pasuk says, now look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, it says, Aram Mikedah, you have Aram. You have the Aramites and the people from Aram, they are Mekedah, they are on the front. Well, Plishtim are behind you. So now you are sort of cornered. In the front you have Aram, behind you you have the Plishtim. Vayoichu es Yisrael b'chopeh, and they are consuming Eden with every mouth. Va'om lo'yishov ad hamakeyu. But the people did not do truth, they did not turn to the one who is really hitting them. It's not Aram and it's not Plishtim, says the Novi. These are actually the words of the Beit HaLevi. The people did not occur to them to turn to the one who's actually doing the smiting. That Hashem Tzavokah was the Rosh, and they didn't seek out Hashem. Babakosha lahashevet lo yoyil. He says, the Bakosha, all the pleading in the world to the rod will not help you. The Chaim B'inyan, the same thing says, Mezonois of Shalom, when it comes to your panosah, to your daily livelihood. When it comes to your panosah, kol yigiyotso yishtad loisah. No matter what you do will not help you. Lahadik loy al hamig zaloy. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do. We have to feel to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That Kodesh Baruch Hu with his chesed can open up the pipes, the tzinoiris of Hashpo upon you. Okay, Mamra, also the Pasuk says, when Mon fell in Hashemayim and the Eden were in the Midbar, when they were in the wilderness, the Pasuk says that people tried to hoard and tried to take more than the portion, than the allotted portion. What does the Pasuk say? Those who thought they're going to have more, they ended up rotted away. So, and those who thought they collected less, a profit came into what they had. So everybody had that with what they were supposed to have. Bahamon, that was not something in the past. Bahamon, ho yesimin ledoyrois, ki haishtavnus lo yel knal harvest loy. It is your bitochen after you brought together with your ishtavnus. Now look what he says. People on business see this, the next paragraph, see it every day. Bechol odom roi bechush asher kam lepomim. Many, many times, the loy died, not only that his ishtavnus, that what he tried, loy hoy loy mu, but not only didn't work, sometimes Adrab, he stood against it. He worked against it. Like Adrab, he said, oy hoy loy le ro'o. Nimse heiru li atzvim b'giyosu. So it comes out of Adrab. He made it worse for him with his yigir. Kamar HaKosot. Very fascinating posik. A little bit difficult posik to translate. Look what the posik says. Posik says again, posik says in Yeshayah. Beitzei tzifoini. Tzifoini is a type of a snake. Rashi says, Rashi doesn't identify it. Rashi in Yeshayah says, it's a mean nochosh ra. Sort of a bad snake. Bad snake. So the posik says this. So the posik says, Beitzei tzifoini, this particular snake called tzifoini, it says, Bakeyu, it means they hatch eggs of this snake. People are going and they are hatching eggs of this bad snake. What else? The koyre arbush yaroigu, and they are weaving spider webs. Well, oichel mi beitzeyim, you almost will eat from the eggs of that snake. It will die. It's poisonous. Vahasura, he said, and who squeezes the eggs? Tiboka, he says, efe, a viper is hatched. Person, in other words, was trying to point out, people see an egg. He doesn't know what's inside. So he's trying to fix the egg and try to do everything, try to get the egg to hatch. That's connected. Be able to have another. Turns out, look, what did he hatch? All of this. Turns out he hatched a poisonous snake that at the end is going to hurt him, going to bite him, and maybe kill him. Says the Beis Tzav, this is what the Novi says. So the Novi says, so Dima, in other words, what the Pasuk is comparing, what the Pasuk, the message is, Ishtadlusim. The ishtalus of the person is doyman many times. The ma'asa basin. Imagine a person trying to collect eggs. The ma'akoloi, because he hopes to eat it eventually. Right? And he heats them up, warms up the way the hen sits on the eggs. Kineshietu men kana goyim ma'akoloi. He hopes that when the chickens are going to come out of it, they'll be able to have something to eat. And after all the trouble, you know, finally to get an egg to hatch, what comes out? The snake comes out. He wasn't able to identify the right egg. He took an egg. He thought it was a regular egg. He didn't know. It turns out, he says, Yotso, what came out, he says, Habeitim Shoy Shalokosh, the Efe, that's the name of a particular snake. Yotso, and Lokosh, the Hazikur, and so on and so forth. So this Rabbi said, this is basically what the Levi tells us. That is the Yisoid of the Betochen. He says again, Betochen is not a luxury to have. The person does not really exercise Betochen, then Chazal Shalom can work against him even. That this could be the cause of things really not working out, or just the opposite. Now let's take a look at Rabbi again. We actually number two in the bottom. Go to the left in the bottom. Mamsh in the bottom. This is also something very, very important. So also when it comes to refuah, a person who is sick, of course, you need healing. Of course, you go to a doctor. Harei, he says, Toder mamish roi, we see many times, sharei fit toye betiv amachu. You have to go to a doctor. That's our shita. But many times you see doctors make mistakes. They're not infallible. They're just human. By the way, it was in Pshat. They say, Toyev Shiv Reidmul again. It's like, Agabuch. There's many, many different Perushim. What does it mean? The best of the doctors. Not simple. It means that they deserve to go to Ganon. And they are Perushim. Why? For that also. Not to have to go into all these different Perushim. But there's a positive Pshat also. If you want to explain what's called a good doctor, I describe a good doctor. People have different ways of describing what he thinks. Shall this? Toiv Shibroifim, what's called a good doctor is like Gehenim, he's ready to go in Gehenim for you. That's what it means. Toiv Shibroifim like Gehenim, he's ready to go in Gehenim. There's nothing going to stand in his way. If he knows there's some way to help you, he'll go all the way. Toiv Shibroifim, you know what that is? Like Gehenim, he's ready to go into Gehenim. Someone is ready to sacrifice himself for you, that is the Toiv Shibroifim. So it says the Beis HaLevi. So see the doctors with the best of intentions many times. He makes a mistake. Either it's a misdiagnosed, Loi died, and therefore, and if it's a mistake, it could be very, very serious. Not only Shane Mistakim, but Loi, so not only not correcting, right, with his deeds, right, Abraham and Mekazal Loi, we know many, many times, right? The patient needs a second surgery, a third surgery, for the because the things just weren't right. So he says, Abraham, he's even ruining it. So I said, Oi Bazoi, so if that's the case, if that's a fact, so how do you put your full trust, he means? Ali Stadlusa. and you're a doctor, you went to the doctor, and you put your trust in that, you don't really know what the doctor's going to do, is really going to be good for you or not. You don't know at the end of the day. If that's really going to bring out oiloi. Imagine, he says, this lady said, three times a day, what do we say? And he says, how great is the busha, the embarrassment. Three times a day, we say like this. We say, because Baruch gives us panosa. Why did you say that? Because Baruch with chesed, because Baruch with grace gives us panosa. He says, soy machnoiflim. Right? He raises up those, he sits all those that fall, all the fallen, because Baruch raises them up. So we say that. So maybe we say it three times, and yet, because we show him somebody gets sick, does he really believe that Kodesh Baruch is the way for Chayim? When somebody needs panosa, does he really believe Machal Kol Chayim Bechesed? Three times a day he says it, and doesn't even occur to him the Pirush HaMil, what he's saying. The Beisalid, how great is the Busha? When Nikvah, I believe, three times a day he's saying it, day in and day out he's saying it, and yet it's really not firmly implanted in his heart. But he's saying it, you're saying it. As you hear, you know, until Chazal Shalom it happens, something happens to you, and then finally you realize there's no one to trust, only Kodesh Baruch Hu, then begins to dawn on you. Al Shigil Yoda is the Prat Ma Protim Shechei Chakur. Well, he said like this. This part he says, a person can fall so that he forgets the Roy de Brakamish Tadusai, Vacholilo, he says, Hareza Bechlau, that means, so what's the davening mean? It's merely giving lip service to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're saying Mechal Kol Chaim Bechesed. You're saying everything. The Novi says, the piv who besfos of kiduni, they honor me with their mouth and their lips, but the libam rochak memenu, but how far are their hearts from me? This mitzvah sanoshim ulumoda. So this, again, this is fundamental, very fundamental, and we go now to the chayyus alvodis, to the imam sheikh, the chayyus alvodis. Okay, we are in Feri Gimel, and we're by Bahashlishi, in the, who has the regular chayyus alvodis, it's Daf Resh Te Zayin. Whoever has the regular, it's Omad Resh design, it's Vahash Lushi. Basically, what the Chavis Havov is again here, he's still actually talking about the first condition, which entails seven. Seven attributes to be worthy of your trust. If you really want to trust in someone, there's seven attributes that that person should really have, and no person really will have these attributes. So now he's up to the third attribute. The idea is just to show you how foolish it is to place your trust in any human being. There's no one else who really fits and has these attributes, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now he's up to the third attribute. He's up to the third attribute, and he points out as follows. The Ashlishi, he says, the third attribute to trust in Hashem is because, the reason to trust in Hashem only, Ka'abayri Yizbarak, he says, Chozok Mikol Chozok. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the powerful of all powerful. He is the one that is the most powerful, and therefore, Udvaroi Nigzar Mikol Dover. Whatever he promises and commands, he says, that is stronger than anybody's promise. In other words, if you want to trust in someone, you can only expect to trust in someone that if he's at least willing to do it, he has the power to do it. But no human being really is the all-powerful, which means that even if he has good intentions, but it can be somebody else, he can stand in the way. There can be many other barriers. So how does it make sense to trust in a human being, who of course, whose power is limited, even if he has good intentions? So the only one who really is worthy, should be worthy of your trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is Chozok Mikol Chozok. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the more powerful of all. And he says, Udvarai Nigzor Mekaldovna, Kodesh Baruch Hu's words. Nigzor Mekaldovna means it remains. Chai v'chayim. But Kodesh Baruch Hu's guide that this is the way it is. The Eid Meshiv Dinoi. There is no one who can overturn it. If Kodesh Baruch Hu decides something, no one can overturn it. Yes, you can appeal to Hashem. But again, it's Hashem overturning it. It's not you. Kodesh Baruch Hu. Come close to Hashem. You chuv it. You machnia yourself. The person lowers himself in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu with humbleness. But no one can change. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want to. But he decides. But the end of the Pasuk says, Kol Asher Chofetz Hashem Oso. The Pasuk can tell him. Whatever Hashem wants, that's what he does. No one can stand in his way. No one can stop it. Well, the Novi Yeshaya says further. The Novi Yeshaya says, Kei Yeh Dvori Asher Yeksin Mipi Lo Yoshev Al Arekam. Once I say something after the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it will not turn back empty. In other words, when Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is going to happen, Ki Moso Sasha Kipatzi, it will happen and be done that which I expect. Lashem Kodesh Baruch Hu is, it says, but it's interesting, what it says in the Pasuk, Kediyah Devari Asher Yetzir Mipi LeYoshev LeYerekom. What's nichlam on that also is, we know that because this power, whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu says, happens, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave this koyach to tzaddikim as well. The great tzaddikim, we know, Chazal tell us that on the pasuk that Yigzer Oimer VeYakum, which means that Tzadik Goyzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Tzadik is Goyzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim that. But the Gemara has the whole thing about that from Sefer Ksubis, trying showing us the Koyach of a Dibur of a Tzadik. Tzadik Goyzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. And there's a incredible few words of a Medrash. Medrash tells us in Parshas Vayishlach. You know the pasuk says Ein Ko'el Yeshurun. Means there's no God like the Yiddish Yeshurun. But there's no Ein Ko'el Yeshurun. There's no one who can match even Doiva like the Ko'el Yeshurun, like the Rabbi Yeshurun of the Jewish people. So the Medrash says Ein Ko'el Yeshurun Umi Ko'el Yeshurun and come. Mikael Yeshurun, who is like a Kodesh Baruch Yeshurun Yidin. The Yidin were given the ability, similar incredible things that Kodesh Baruch Hu does, Shloike Derech HaTeva, no one in the world can do it other than Yidin. Tzadikim. Ein Kokel Yeshurun. Mikael, says the Medrash, Yeshurun. But who is? Who is like a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Who is like Kael? Who is like a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Yeshurun is the Yidin. And the Medrash says, you're going to find that whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do, Tzadikim already have done. Medrash gives an example. Atamoisa, we find that when Mashiach comes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be Machai Mason. Says the Medrash, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Machai Mason, Vel Yom Machai Mason. We already did it. Goes on to show, and Medrash gives example upon example on example. Things that Kodesh Baruch Hu is awesome to do, and Tzadikim have done it already. To show the Koyach. And the Medrash Rabbah goes out to point out that Koyach is even just the Dibur of the Tzadik. Tzadik doesn't have to do actually action necessarily to bring about things. But even the Dibur of the Tzadik, so the Medrash in Parshas Hazinu. And the Medrash, interesting, says, Ramban, remember Yaakov Avinu comes down, and he meets Yosef at Tzadik. So he says to him as follows, he says, those children that were born to you, outright, till I came down to Mitzrayim, Keruvim, Vishim, Mili, they'll be like Shvatim. Right? So Menashe and Ephraim that were born until I came, Umelatko Asher, right? Umelatko said, Asher, Latko Asherim, but those children will be born now, as of now, Lechoyu. These are yours, but they don't become part of the tribe. Don't guarantee the Shvatim. Ramban says the fact that Yaakov Avinu said, and those children that will be born after I come, that's to see by Yosef give birth to more children, had more children. But the word is Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu says Ramban. That Yaakov Avinu said, Umeladacha, Achaladacha Achraya, Yaakov said it, doesn't go lorik. Doesn't disappear. The words of Yaakov Avinu says, is not for naught, and therefore it's Lahiya lorik, and therefore they bear fruit. The words of a tzaddik, bears fruit. There was a Hamdi Gemaisa, they say, from the Tzemach Tzedek. They are one of the Friedige Lubavitcher Rebbes, who was a great goy himself. They say regarding that a woman, an aguna, who was chained, you know, they didn't know where her husband disappeared, of course she couldn't get married. There's no aid, there's no testimony that he died or anything like that. So the husband ran away, and she had a son, a young son. But he was a mute, he couldn't speak. He was afflicted with, was an ilin. Couldn't speak, deaf and dumb, wasn't able to speak, couldn't communicate. So, but he was able, he understood things. So you were able to send him on errands. You know he was an ilin, but he was able. Now if you mail the letter, you don't have to say anything. Go to the mailbox, mail letter. Take this over to there. Go to the store, she wrote a note and bring me this and this. You're able to go. Yeah, fairly intelligent. So she sent him with a kvittel, he says, to the Rebbe, to the Tzemach Tzedek, regarding her husband, that she needs a Yeshua. She's an aguna so many years, husband ran off. So, in the kvittel, she didn't write anything about the fact that her son needs a refuah, and he can't speak. That she didn't write. But the kvittel she wrote about the tzor, about her husband, that she's an aguna. So he came to the Rebbe, and he gave over the kvittel. So the Rebbe says, go tell your mother that her husband is over there and over there. First of all, the Rebbe said where the husband is, but he said, go tell your mother. And he goes, and he spoke and told his mother. The Chiddush is, the Koyach, I mean, the Bakoshi was on one thing. Go tell your mother, your husband is over there. So words come out, the mouth of a tzaddik. Keiye devorei is, the Chavis of Ovis bring down from Yishai, she yetze mipi lo yoshev elai reikom. Chassidim say the Maisa, they say from the Rav Shitzeruf, that he was traveling on the road, and a particular party, a company of people, were before him traveling on the same road, and there was a choyle, somebody who was paralyzed on his feet, And they figured it's not like today, you know, he just he was a burden. He was a burden on the travelers. So they did something which they should not have done. They took the choyla, the paralyzed person. He was holding them back. They put him in the middle of the road and he just left them there. So he's down in the middle of the road. And the Rav Shitz Rebbe was coming with his entourage, and he had to pass through. And he didn't know that this guy is paralyzed. He says, "Why don't you get off the road and move away?" He got up and moved away. He's even the Dibra B'Tzadik Shloi B'Kavon. Even the Dibra B'Tzadik Shloi B'Kavon has a claim. "Why don't you move away? Don't you get up and go?" His brother said, "Get up, cigar." So this is the Indian. "Kei yedvai sheyetzim mipi." He said, "Liyoshev alai reikam." This is the claim that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave. We go further, Rabbi Sai. Baradi. What's the fourth attribute? What's the fourth attribute? The fourth attribute is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you want to trust in someone, and that someone should be a Kodesh Baruch Hu because he possesses the next mile. He possesses the next attribute. Ki hu mashgiach al hanhogas b'neyodim kumam. Kodesh Baruch Hu oversees the behavior of all people. No one skips. And Kodesh Baruch Hu's observation. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is on top of each and every person. He said, lo yanichem, he does not forsake anyone. Lo yisalimehem, nor does he ignore any of them. Lo yisosem mimenu dobar mehem mikotnam b'abgoyim. There's nothing that's hidden from Hashem, from the smallest piece of information or anything, to the greatest, to the most important. And he says further, he says that v'lo yashkicheu dobar es dobar. He points out also that being busy in one thing, he does not forget. A human being, if you become overly involved in a situation, he may have other important things to attend to, but he may get so involved in one situation, therefore you forget about the other things. Because you can't concentrate on too many things at the same time. So something which attracts his attention at a particular time will be the cause of even things that he would like to do, other things, and attend to them, he'll forget to them. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, he can attend to you, just attend to the neighbor, and the entire world, each and every person. There's nothing that makes a Kodesh Baruch Hu so busy with something that causes him to forget his achrayus, the responsibility to anybody else. That's what he means. Le'ashkicheyu dover es dover. One thing will not cause him to forget something else. Le'ashkicheyu dover es dover. One item will not make him forget another item, which is not the case of human beings. Become overly consumed with one thing, innocently, you'll forget something else. Even something very important, you forget the best things, very important things, because you got too consumed with one thing. A busy day at the office, forget something else. You're so involved. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have that problem. Because you call to the Pesuk says, now listen to how he touches the Pesuk Yishai, according to the purpose of others. It's in that Torah of Lech Lecha. That's how it begins. Lom HaSoyim Yaakov Yisdavar Yisroel, Nistra Darki Mashem. What the Navi is meaning to say is like this. The Navi is bemoaning the fact, why are you Yidden complaining? In other words, Lom HaSoyim Yaakov Yisdavar Yisroel, why are you Yidden? Why are you Jewish people complaining? What are you saying? In other words, what are they saying? They're saying, Nistra Darki Mashem. Yidden who, unfortunately, we find ourselves in Golus for so long. So we find ourselves being exiled, so we say that Kodesh Baruch Hu forgot about us. Nistra Darki Mashem, which means to say Kodesh Baruch Hu is not busy with us. He's not observing what's happening to us. He doesn't realize. Kodesh Baruch Hu seems to ignore the tzaras that we are suffering. So Navi says, why are you saying that? Lom HaSoyim HaYakov is not what you saw. Why are you saying? What are you saying? You're saying Nistra Darki Mashem. You think it seems that Hashem forgot about us. That Nitro Dagan Hashem, that Hashem is not interested. Umelekai Mishpoti Yavar. And Kodesh Baruch Hu has allowed Mishpot justice to pass over. That we Jews have come with the time that Kodesh Baruch Hu says, why aren't you judging the Umasoilam? Why are you allowing things to happen? You're saying that Kodesh Baruch Hu allows Mishpot Yavar, you're allowing Mishpot to go by. So Navi says, why are you saying that? Why not? Well, because the reason why you shouldn't say that. Yes, it may appear to you that you're saying to yourself that Kodesh Baruch Hu seems that he's ignoring your plight. But says the Navi, halo yodatom lo shamato. But of course you're aware, if you had not at least heard, that Elikei Oilam Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elikei Oilam, and he judges the entire world, and he observes the entire world. Bayre Kitzoy Torez, he created the four corners of the world, every part of the world he created. So I say to yourself, maybe he gets tired. No. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not signed by Kodesh Baruch Hu is not just such a thing. Now the thing of Kodesh Baruch Hu should get tired, and no matter how much Kodesh Baruch Hu does, so the question you'll say, you'll say to yourself, so how? Kodesh Baruch Hu is not tired. Kodesh Baruch Hu is aware, he's on top of it. So what's happening to us? The answer is Ein Chekel L'Tfunasa. It's not for us to even try to understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chochma. Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chochma and wisdom is so far away from us. We're not capable of comprehending Darkei Hashem. Ein Chekel L'Tfunasa. So that's how the Chodesh Baruch Hu's Chochma is possible. On the one hand, we know our Kodesh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. We know it says, Hello, you're Datom, Lo Shemata, Lo Kei Yoel Hashem, Boirik and Tzaisoros. Lo Yoav, Lo Yagei, he does not get tired. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is on top of everything, and is aware of everything. So what's happening? The answer is, you're not capable of understanding. You're not capable of understanding. And capable is philosophy. So this is one part. So this again, so this goes, this is the Chelik, this is the Chelik Ravi. This is the fourth Chelik. And then we go further. And I should just tell you something, just, you know, what he says, there's no shikhe, he says, leshkechu, I'll also say, leshkechu, dobra, dobra, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not allow one thing to happen, something else. It also means like this, you can say to yourself, Kodesh Baruch Hu has so many people to deal with, maybe somebody, one person can slip out, you know? Kodesh Baruch Hu is dealing with billions of people. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do favors for so many people, we want to do favors for a lot of people, it's very easy to forget about one person, someone. Yeah? So it's possible, no, leshkechu, dobra, dobra. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to do favors for whoever he wants to do, for the Gantzavel, for the whole world, but that does not mean that because he wants to benefit the whole world, that it's going to cause him to forget anybody. One thing will not make him forget anything else. By the way, talking about Shikha, you know, it's just a fascinating thing. There's a Tosfos Yontif in Masechus Ma'aser Sheni. There's a Tosfos Yontif in Masechus Ma'aser Sheni, Perek Hey. You know that when you plant a new tree, the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. It's called Orla. The first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. What happens the fourth year? The fourth year, it's called Ravai. That's a Ravai. What's a Ravai mean? You're allowed to eat it, but the fourth year, the fruits have kashu, which means you have to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, there's a machlaikis whether Ravai applies to all trees or maybe only to grapevines, Karen Ravai. Again, there's a machlaikis, there's a dispute. There's some opinions that apply only to a Karen, only to a grapevine. The fourth year, by the fourth year, to be noya kedusha, to deal with it, kedusha is on the fourth year, only by a keren. What does the Mishnah say about it? The Mishnah is, of course, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, who is the Misadra of the Mishnah is. You know what? One place he writes keren ravai, and in one place he writes neter ravai. Seems contradictory. One place he writes it applies to all trees, and one place he says it applies only to a keren. So the Yerushalmi brings the Tosfos Yontif of Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says, they asked Rabbeinu HaKodesh, they asked Rabbi, regarding a particular Mishnah, how are we supposed to read it? Keren Ravai? Or are we supposed to read it Neter Ravai? Big difference. Does it apply to all trees? And the Yerushalmi says that Rabbeinu HaKodesh didn't answer, but he said, go and ask Rabbi Yitzchak. Go and ask Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbeinu HaKodesh didn't answer how the Mishnah should read. So Tosfos Yontif asks, what do you mean? Rabbi himself was Machaber the Mishnais. He ordered the Mishnah. He doesn't know how to be Yitzchak, no? The Tosfos Yontif says that the truth is that Rebbe himself was not sure what the halach is. It was sometimes he wrote this way, and sometimes he wrote that way. And then, he says, it could be b'meshech hazman, a time and along, efsher, he says, shenishkach memenu. Could be he forgot. Because being that he was not kaveil aloche and wasn't sure of the aloche himself, he didn't really absorb it, and maybe he forgot. So haplo b'fil that a talmid could forget a particular girsan, a mishnah, or so on and so forth. So the inyan is, of course, that's what he says. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, we don't have shikhes dover as dover. The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have this situation. It doesn't apply, and it's not shy. Let me go further, Rabbi Yisai. Okay, we're at the end of the day. But let me just tell you one little thing. Let me just leave you now. I really thought we were going to get to Chamish, to the next thing. You know, Shevet Don, of all the Shvatim, the 12 tribes, Shevet Don, by the way, was considerably larger than all the other tribes. Pasuk says that, in Bamidbar, it said that Pikudeim Lamate Don Shnayim Vishishimelot, that's 62,000, Vishvamei is 700. Shevet Don had one of the most members in the tribe, and this is a phenomenon to be really to behold. Because the fact that Don only had one child. Don only had one child. And Chatzka Levenstein takes the idea even further, Chatzka Levenstein, and he says, Chatzka Levenstein says, that the fact is that we would assume that allowing the course of nature, that Binyamin's tribe should be more, Because Binyamin, Lamais, as we know, had 10 sons. And yet, it finds out that we take the final tally, that Binyamin's tribe was half the size of Dan. Half. What's pshat? Why is that? The course of nature is not the way. You only had one descendant to produce offspring further and further. So Chatzkel Levenstein says very simply, because Baruch Hu listens, he says, to the pleas of the weak and the downtrodden, who have no one upon to whom rely but Hashem. In other words, a person who relies foolishly, says, on his own talents, he says, and so on and so forth, so he finds out very, very quickly how weak he is. Shevet Don, knowing that he only had one son, so therefore Don turned to Kodesh Baruch Hu to give a broken to his tribe. Because he understood that physically, according to the natural course of nature, he will not be able to multiply all that much. But Yahweh felt, hey, listen, I have 10 children. All of them are going to reproduce. I don't have to worry about it. My tribe naturally is going to be more. Turned out the opposite. So it comes out. Let me tell you that the Chofetz Chaim related the following incident. You can conclude with this, that it was in Galicia, was a minhag, in a particular Beis Medrash. Was a minhag that Shabbos, like Shalashu this time, toward the end of the Shabbos, that they would have a Seder and say Tehillim. The reason was because the Soif of Shabbos, the end of Shabbos, is first of all very, very, very valuable. You only have a few minutes left, and therefore you want to hold on to Shabbos, you know, and be able to put in the greatest Kedusha. So they used to say Tehillim. By the way, Or Chaim HaKadosh tells us that the highest level of Kedusha within the 24 hours of Shabbos is the last moments of Shabbos. The last moment of Shabbos generates more Kedusha than the entire Shabbos. So says the Or Chaim HaKadosh. That's another inyum. On Kippur, they had the Seder of Saint Tehillim. They say that someone, an outsider, once came into town, and he sees everybody saying Tehillim. There was also Saint Tehillim. But he noticed somebody in the corner of the Beis Medrash in the Shul happens to be saying Tehillim with tremendous zeal, with tremendous emotion coming from his tefillah. So he decided that a good place would be to stand next to that person. What time is telling you that story? Then you see somebody is saying with such a grand, it's a good hashpoah on you also. And manifestly, he goes over to that person, and he realized the person next to him, he said, to whom he went to, was actually crying, was pouring out his heart with tremendous kavanah. After they finished saying the tefillin, after Myrod actually, the second yid goes up to the first yid and says to him, he said, no, it's not my business. He said, that's what you should test with him. No, it's not my business. You know what's coming up, but tell me anyway. He said, no, it's not my business. He says, but I see that you have a lot of tsar, you have a lot of anguish. He says, what's bothering you? Maybe I can help you. So the man said, listen, what should I tell you? He says, I have a daughter, marriageable age, he says. And he says, but I have no money, I have no dowry, I have nothing to give her. She sits home all day, she's depressed and dejected. During the week I don't see it, so I don't see her, so I don't see the tzar on her face. But Shabbos I'm home, and I see how the tzar, how she is throughout the entire day of Shabbos. I look at my child, breaks my heart, there's nothing I can do to help her. So I go to shul, he says, and I cry out my heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he listens to me. I hope he'll be listening to me. So the second man heard that, he says, listen, he says, I have a son, who mamish excels in midas toyev v'seir yishumayim, is the Talmud Chuchim. Regretfully, I have no money either, like you. So maybe we can both be Mishadach ourselves. We both have the same island. But we both have the same island. Maybe we can be Mishadach ourselves. And if you're willing, he says, I am more than ready than willing. But Chaim says, the chasen took place. The young couple, was blessed with tremendous nachas. Four gedolei Yisrael came out. As Chaim tells, one was Rav Aryeh Leib HaKohen, the Baal Ketzos HaChoshen. Second one was, he says, Rabbi Yehuda Leib HaKohen, he says, which was the Baal Kintzos HaSveikus. And the other two was each a Godel Bishon in his own right. So Rabbi Tzai, from the depth of Tzar, from the depth of feeling lost, we turn our baton to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Tzai. Al-Tiflechu b'ndim v'enodem shenashu, kizoych t'hol v'syat v'dishmai, and the world, Bez Hashem, kizoych t'hol v'yishu.